Well, good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us today. If you're visiting, thanks for coming. We trust and experience that you've already felt the presence of God. We believe that God is alive and He is active. And our heart, our vision is to be a local church with a global mission, that this is not just something we experience here, but we share it with the world, that we can know Him and make Him known. Because that's what it's all about, right? Knowing Jesus and making Him known, that others can experience Him and have a life that impacts their lives as we've experienced Him. We're in the middle of a series over the book of Haggai. And last week was an incredible time. We just began to unpack the history behind, the background behind this book. And we begin to see how the children of Israel had walked through that journey and they had gone into captivity with Babylon, and how God began to bring them back to the place where they were in their home surrounding. But they began the process of rebuilding the temple. And while they were back in from the 70 years of captivity and they were rebuilding the temple, they began to get opposition on every side. They had opposition from the left. They had from the right. They had the situations with the Samaritans and the Persians, and people began to persecute them. And for 16 years, they went through lawsuits. They went through just all types of persecution, to the point as they were hope and their plan was to rebuild the temple. But after building the foundation, they just got tired and they quit. And we paralleled that to our lives. And how so many times we start out with these great ambitions, these great visions and grandeur of what we want to accomplish. But when opposition comes and things come against us and fight against us, what happens? We often just begin to say, I'm tired. Is it worth it? But yet the underlying theme we saw in this book and we see in this book is that God had a divine plan in their life. He had great things in store for them, but yet they had to be willing to submit and commit their lives to Him. But because of the opposition, they forgot about Him and started focusing upon themselves. And we ended with a series of questions that I want to begin with today. Questions for reflection, question for us to think about on your life personally and even us as a church. And the first question was simply this: God is calling us to greater things, giving us a purpose. Are you all in, or have you given up? Have you given up on the great things that God has for you and you just said, well, I'm content just living life, as opposed to embracing all that God has? The second question was this: are you excited about the great things God has for you and us, or have you found yourself tired and weary? Have you found yourself just being at moments where, like, I'm so tired, I want to quit? And the last one was, have you lost sight of God's kingdom and started building your own kingdom? Because this is what's happening in the book of Haggai. We can see this very clearly. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to begin to walk through chapter 1. And next week, we'll walk through portions of chapter 2 for the next few weeks and unpack some of the things that caused them to be in this situation, as well as ideas for us that we can understand and embrace to apply to our lives, where we can prohibit ourselves and move out of maybe a situation where you are tired or you are weary and you want to quit and you want to give up, where you can find encouragement through the Word. Because one of the most interesting things about Haggai as a prophet is oftentimes in the Old Testament, when you look at a prophet, prophets would be their message was just simply gloom, doom, and destruction, because it was often in response to disobedience that they were doing. And because of the disobedience would come judgment. And so the prophets would begin to announce judgment and say, hey, you've done wrong. Here's what's happening because you've done wrong. Or, hey, you're doing wrong. You need to get right. And what's interesting about Haggai and even Zechariah, who were two contemporaries in this process, is they were called, they were sent to the people of Israel during this time to bring encouragement. They were there to encourage them, to kind of redirect them and say, hey, we need your attention. Look what we're talking about here. You need to kind of focus in of what's going on. And so Haggai steps in on the scene. Here he is in about 520 BC. He enters in and he begins to give this message of hope and redirection, of saying, open your eyes, see where you are, have a good understanding. Because spiritual apathy had set in, they had stopped working on the temple, and what they had done is started working on their own homes. So his task was to awaken the leaders, to get their attention and let them see that they've got to begin to shift their attention and focus on building the temple and honoring God. Now, as we noted last week, all of us start off with good intentions. But when challenged, we often get our priorities out of whack. The intentions start good, but then along the way, the things that become important to us no longer have value. They have value on paper, but not in our lives. So in Haggai chapter 1, we're going to talk about today misplaced priorities. Misplaced priorities. So let's think of it like this. Here's a thought I want you to process today. When I talk about priorities, most of us, what? We think about the top 10 or what's the most important things in your life. And you're, oh, God, family, church. But here's what I want you to think about. Your priorities aren't a list you write down, but rather a life you live out. Think about that. Your priorities aren't a list you write down. They're a life you live out. You see, many of us, if I would ask you today, what is your priorities? You would start with God, my family, maybe church, whatever your priorities may be. And you list them out. But yet, if I were to ask you to take a look at your life, would God have priority in your life? Would a bulk of your time spent honoring him, living a life for him? If family is on the top of your list, is it something that you value and you spend a lot of time in? Or you consume with other avenues? So the old adage is true. You can look at your calendar and your bank account and see your priorities. There's truth in that. Because you can see where your time is spent and where your money is spent, and you're going to find out where your priorities are. So it's one thing to say, my family is a priority, but if it's not spent time spent with it, you have to ask yourself, is it truly a priority? Because your priorities aren't a list you write down. They're a life you live out. So let's dive into Haggai chapter 1. Let's look at what's happening with them in verse number 1. On August 29th, in the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jehoiada, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent the message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious homes while my house lies in ruins? Other scriptures, other versions say, why are you living in panel houses? Why are you living wherever you're taking care of yourself and not taking care of me? Now, we remember last week we talked about this. They started with the good intentions. They wanted to build the temple. That was their heart. That was their desire. But when opposition came and they went through 16 years of straight opposition, they just said, you know what? I'm through. I'm tired. I'm done. I don't really want to do this anymore. And they begin to say, let's just focus. So you know what they did? They justified their actions. Well, it's not that we're not going to rebuild the temple. It's just not the right time. The time hasn't come. And so you see this parallel. They're saying it hasn't come. But yet inside it was their justification to make them feel good. Because they knew the priority is who? God. If you would ask them what's the God? Oh, we serve God. He's our number one priority. But it wasn't what they were living out. Now, the understanding behind this is you begin to dig deeper. You see in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So you have to understand that they knew how to live. They knew what it meant to follow God. They knew what it meant to make God first in their lives. But yet it wasn't something they were living out. Because in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, if you read it, it's what's known as the blessing covenant. In other words, it says, if you do this, God will bless you. If you honor God, God will honor you. And it lists out numerous ways that as you put him first, as you give to him, all these aspects they lay out. As you do this, God will bless you because he wants to bless you. You are his children. He is your father. He's going to bless you. But then as you look on in verses 15 through 68, he lists out actions that if you do, they're called curses. They're called the covenant curses. And so if you do this, essentially you're walking away from me and you're walking into a trap. You're walking into a curse because you're choosing to not follow me. Guess what's going to happen? This destruction is going to come upon you. So they already had laid out before them a mandate of what it meant to follow God and to honor him, and what it meant to follow the world and do the things of their own. But yet they had chosen to say, you know what, it's just not the right time. It's not what I'm supposed to do. And so they begin to focus upon themselves. Now, this was a pattern they had seen long before. Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, you remember that. They had from the very beginning, that message had been laid out clear before them. Many of them knew that story and knew it well, as God honored Cain, or God honored Abel, but rejected Cain's offering. And they knew why. Because God had instructed Cain to trade his goods, because he was a farmer, and Abel was the sheep, was of the actual animals, and Cain had the crops. So they knew, Cain knew, but Cain chose not to. Cain chose to do it on his own. And because of that, what happened? He ended up killing his brother, and just destruction followed. But they knew the pattern. They knew what God had set before them in Genesis 4. They knew in Malachi 1, as we see, they knew the things that had happened, because that had all happened before. They had seen where people were giving basically blemished offerings to God. They were not honoring him with their best. They knew what God required through the Levitical law, through Deuteronomy. They had seen laid out before them multiple paths of what they needed to do to follow him. But yet they chose not to do it. They chose to walk in their own path. Why? Because the priorities that they have are not a list they write down. It's something that they lived out. And they did not live them out. God was not a priority. So God sends Haggai, and Haggai's like, hey, we got a problem here. Your priorities are wrong. You're focused upon yourself and not focused upon God. And it really boils down to this question. Are you giving God your best or just the rest? Now, I put a picture here. You're like, what is this? It's a good old casserole. Anybody remember casseroles? And I was in college. I'll never forget. We had multiple lines in the cafeteria. You had the hamburger line. You had the pizza line. And you had the hot lunch line. You remember the hot lunch line? You remember that's the line that, you know, on day one, it's roast beef. You know, and then the next day, it's something else. It's some chicken. And you have all these things. And then it never failed. I could watch this through all my years of college. By day 4 and 5, it was casserole surprise. And if you dug into it, you could always discover, well, that was Monday, a little bit of Tuesday, and a little bit of Wednesday. Anybody else have that experience? You know, casseroles cover a multitude of sins, don't they? You know, you can just put a lot of stuff in there. Take that away for today, right? You know, it's like you can put a lot of things in there and you just don't know. Nobody really knows what's in there. And the truth is, if it tastes good, you don't want to know, do you? You've had that food before where you're like, this tastes good. Don't tell me, and it won't ruin it. If you tell me, I'm not going to like it. But this is often how we treat our relationship with God. We give him the casserole. We give him what's left instead of giving him our best. And this is what's happening in Haggai 1. They're giving him the leftovers. They're focused more upon themselves, and their priorities aren't what they're living out is not what they've wrote down. They know that God should be number one. They've learned that, but they're not living it out in their lifestyle. And really what it comes to is this. It comes to this thought of living under the covering of God is a choice, not a right. Now follow me. It's a choice, not a right. As a child of God, they had a right to God's protection. But because they were created in the image of God, they had a choice as to whether or not they were going to follow it. Now, one of the best illustrations I've used and seen on this is that of an umbrella. So when you look at this here, you have this umbrella per se. Now, think of this as the covering of God. As of when I come into a relationship with God, and when they're in that relationship and they're saying, I know what it means to walk under God's blessing. So when I ask him into my heart and I begin to follow him as a child, literally in scripture, we see where it says we are co-heirs with Christ. Well, you become a part of his covering. So in other words, God says, okay, you're going to walk. I'm now protect you. Now, how many of you have ever had one of these umbrellas out in the Texas rain? Anybody here? Texas rain doesn't just go straight down, does it? I mean, it goes sideways, so sometimes you're walking like this or like this, you know, or the wind might take you away. You know, you go through so many expressions. But would you rather have one of these in a rainstorm or not have one. I mean, it may not be perfect, right? But it is going to cover quite a bit. It's going to help you in that process, at least keep somewhat dry. And in the same respect, when you're following Christ, when you choose to walk under the covering of God, and as these children of Israel, they say, you know what, I'm going to honor you, God. I'm going to put you first in your life. You know what he says? Okay, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to bless you. But when you say, I'm going to do it on my own, what happens? We often face struggles. Does that mean it doesn't rain just because you're a child of God? No, it rains on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? But yet I have protection from the rain. He helps me. Yes, there are difficult times. Even though you're following him and under his covering, there are difficult times. But those times can be much more difficult when you walk out of the covering of God. And so by following him and saying, okay, I'm going to put you first in my life, I'm going to honor you, you're choosing to walk under his covering. You're choosing to put him first and honor him. Now, when we look at this illustration and we see how this applies into our lives, we look over here in verse 5. Look at what he's beginning to explain to them. Because they were going through some difficult seasons. And yet they're chalking it up just to a difficult season. But look what he tells them in verses 5 through 7 and 9 through 11. He says, this is what the Lord of the heaven army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still hungry. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. Can anybody relate to that, right? He's like, you put them in and it's just, it's not going anywhere. He says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says to you. Look at what's happening. You hope for the rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought the harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, while all of you are busy building your own houses. It's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew of the earth and produces no crops. I have called for a drought into your fields and a drought to wither the grain and the grapes and the olive trees and all other crops. And the drought to starve you, and the livestock to ruin everything you have worked for, so hard to get. Now we look at this and we're like, man, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Here's why. He's more concerned with your heart and your soul than he is with your comfort. He's more concerned with your heart and your soul, knowing him, experiencing him, than he is with your comfort. Let me rephrase it like this. He's more concerned that your priorities be in alignment with him than with alignment of what you want and desire, the alignment of the world. We see this lay out through multiple scriptures, don't we? Remember in Galatians, when it lays out in Galatians chapter 5, how what happens, the destruction happens when you follow the world, and then the fruit and the life that comes when you follow the Spirit. You see this correlation here? We see it again when Jesus says it like this. He says what? Wherever your treasure is, you remember this, your heart will be also. And he goes on and says, you cannot serve both God and money. Why is he saying that? Because it's an issue of the soul. He's more concerned with your heart than he is your money or your comfort or anything else you have. And because he created you in his image, he gives you that free will, doesn't he? He says, okay, if you want to walk under my covering, I want to bless you. What does that mean? That means in all areas of your life. See, what we often do with God is we compartmentalize, don't we? Well, God, I'll give you my time in this segment. God, I'll honor you this way. Lord, I want to honor you, but not in my money because that's I don't have money to honor you with. Are you tracking? What I'm saying is, he's simply saying, I'm more concerned with your heart than I am anything about your money. Scripture tells us he owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. What does that mean? It means that he has all that he needs. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. And in this issue, he's telling them, you're so consumed with building your luxurious homes that you forgot about my home. And so because of that, you were walking under my covering, but now you chose to walk away. You chose. Oftentimes we're like, God, where are you? I don't understand where you are. You know what he's saying? I'm right here. Just come stand underneath it. We're the ones that walked away. We're the ones that stepped out of the covering, but we're wondering where he is. He does not move. He is constant. He is stable. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the only constant thing in this world, the only constant thing of all time. And when you choose to step under his covering, that's when you get to experience the blessings that he has for you. But it's a choice that you have to make. And here's how you understand this. When I follow this process and I say, okay, let me just, my priorities aren't a list that I write down. They're what I live out. So if that's the case and I'm going to live this out, then I need to make sure that I'm giving him my best and I'm trusting him more than I'm trusting myself. I'm going to choose to walk under the covering of God. What that does is that's walking in obedience to him. Jesus said, my sheep hear me, they know me, and they hear my voice. He's telling us, look, and Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you'll what? Obey me. You see, serving God isn't a drag. It's an opportunity. It's not an obstacle. It's something you get to do, not something you have to do. You have a free will. You can choose to not walk under the covering of God. You can choose to live life on your own. He's not going to force you. No one's going to force you. But if you say, Lord, I want what you have, and you're choosing to walk under the covering of God, then you're walking in obedience to him. And here's what you need to understand about obedience. Obedience catches the attention of God more than any sacrifice you can do. Your obedience to him will catch his attention quicker than anything you could do to sacrifice for him. Let's read on in verse 8. He says, now go up into the hills, bring down the temple, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure, and it will be honored, says the Lord. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, the whole remnant of God's people began to what? Obey the message of the Lord their God. When they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, the people feared the Lord. They obeyed him. In Ezra chapter 5, we see, as this story is paralleled, what happened. As they began to honor God and rebuild the temple, they still had opposition. But you know what it says in Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 and 2? It says the Lord protected them. You following that? He protected them from the obstacles they faced. And that's what happens. It's not that you don't face opposition. It's not that you don't have hard times, but you walk under the protection of God and you see that he is caring for you. The whole concept of obedience is better than sacrifice is laid out. We find it from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. And what's happening in this passage is Saul, who was the king of Israel, was given direct instruction by God through Samuel, the prophet, to tell him what he was supposed to do upon a battle they had faced. Not to go in and plunder and all these different instructions. But Saul disobeyed. Saul did what he wanted to do because he thought God would be honored by what he thought would be the better idea. And look at 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. It says, but Samuel replied, this is what he's telling Saul. He said, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? He said, listen. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as simple as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And from that moment on, Saul began his descent until God raised up David. You see this parallel. When you honor God and you say, I'm going to put him first in all that I do, he's going to honor you. So it comes down to an alignment issue, doesn't it? When you align your priorities with God, he will bring alignment to your life, which will create the energy you lack. Think about that. When I begin to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to come into an alignment with you in all areas of my life. In the personal, my relationship, the time I spend with you, I say you're number one, I'm going to put you first by spending time. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you time in my day. You know what happens? You're putting yourself in alignment. When you begin to say, Lord, I know I don't have a lot, but what I have is yours. I'm going to honor you with my giving because I recognize that you're not worried about my money. You just want me to honor you with my heart. So I'm going to give back to you and I'm going to honor you with it. You know what happens? You come into alignment. When you begin to shift over here and say, Lord, all the other things, instead of working about for my own ambitions and ideas, I'm going to recognize that I'm a child of God and what my kingdom is not more important than your kingdom. So I'm going to put your kingdom first. I'm going to recognize that my job, my neighbors, the people you put me in contact with is for a purpose. That I can be a light in a dark world. That I can be salt where there is no flavor. I can be there to help and show that people can see you are what they're seeking. You are the hope that they need. You see, what happens is you're putting alignment in your life and it's going to create energy. The reason you don't have energy is because you're out of alignment. And when you align your priorities with God, what happens? It brings alignment in your life, which gives you energy. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this or been a part of this, but if you've ever noticed on your car when they come out and say, hey, your tires are misaligned. And look at this picture. I put a picture up here. I wanted one to see. So what does it mean? Because some of you are like, yeah, I get this. I know this. You're mechanics or you've worked on cars. Or you've dealt with this your whole life. But I want you to notice this tire. It has tread, right? But just on that inside edge, it's beginning to bald. What that is a sign of misalignment. So if you're, now some of you are going to go look at your cars right now and go, oh, Jesus, you know, help us. Because you're going to see that maybe you have this going on. But here's what this means in the mechanical sense. If your tires are misaligned, when they're going down the road, there's friction. In other words, because they're not aligned properly, the tires are not rotating. They're not in a full symmetrical way. They're off a little bit. So part of that tire is getting more wear than the rest of the tire. Well, what that also means is it's burning that rubber up and it's causing friction. Now, here's what this means in your life personally. When your heart is not aligned with God, there's friction. When you begin to see that my time, even though I put priorities and God's number one, but I'm not giving him my time, there's a misalignment. That's friction in your life. When I say, God, I love you with all my heart, but don't mess with my money, there's friction in your heart. Because you're saying, okay, Lord, I don't trust you in this area. When you're saying, Lord, I'm more concerned about building my house, but I'm going to serve you on the side. My kingdom, not your kingdom. There's friction in your heart. Do you see this? And so what happens is that friction begins to wear you down. And then you become tired. Then you become weary. And then you begin to say, well, Lord, where are you? Why are you not here? I don't feel you. I don't know you. And God's saying, I ain't gone anywhere. Where are you? Because you have to choose to walk under the covering of God. You have to choose to say, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to honor you with my time. I'm going to honor you with my giving. I'm going to honor you with my purpose and put you first. I'm going to recognize I'm here for you, not me. And when you begin to do that, you know what happens? Everything shifts. You begin to find energy in a way you never found before. So let's go back to those questions that we looked at the beginning. Question number one, God is calling us to greater things and giving us a purpose. Are you all in or have you given up? Has the friction in your life caused you to the point where you don't even want to try anymore? Has it caused you just to want to give up? Are you excited about the great things that God has? Or are you tired and weary? Maybe that friction is rubbing against you right now. Have you lost sight of God's kingdom and started building your own? Have you been more focused on the luxurious home? That's not necessarily just meaning your home. It means you're more focused with yourself than you are the things of God. Because if you are, there's friction. And here's what you know. You can keep going. If you've ever dealt with tires, they can be misaligned for a while. But eventually, what's going to happen? they're going to blow out. There's going to come a point where they're gone. Pop. And those are the moments. Sometimes it depends on how fast you're going. You know, if it's at a slower pace of life, you might be okay. But if you're moving at a rapid pace and it have a blowout, it can be a problem, can't it? How many of you are moving at a rapid pace in your life where there's friction and you know it? And the first obstacle you face, you could have a massive blowout. You have to realign. And that's what it's talking about here. In Haggai chapter 1, it was an encouragement. It was a, hey, attention. Wake up. Your focus. I recognize you've been under attack for 16 years. I recognize you want to quit. But you know what? You can't quit. You've got to move forward. You've got to realign. Put your priorities back in place. Put God first. And then see what God can do. Replace your priorities by how you live, not what you write. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that this morning. Some of you are here today and the Lord's been speaking to you. You know good and well. When you ask yourself, are you all in or have you given up? Some of you have already given up. You're tired. You've given up. Some of you may not be at the point of giving up, but you are tired and weary. And you're like, I haven't given up, but man, I've been wondering, God, where are you? I've been exhausted. And some of you have already begun to work on your own kingdom instead of building the kingdom of God. And today he's speaking into your life, asking you, hey, this life that you're living, this journey that you're facing, it's not a marathon. I mean, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, isn't it? You don't get there overnight. It takes time. It takes time. And sometimes along the way, you're going to get rained on. Sometimes you're going to have things happen that you just don't like or understand. But you have to know that when your priorities are in alignment, that you know what? He's going to see you through. He's going to give you the energy you lack to achieve what he has for you. Today, I just want to say a prayer over each and every one of you. Prayer of encouragement. That today you would begin to align yourself. You know what it is. Maybe it's time. Maybe your time is not spent with God, and God is saying, hey, I need all of you. I don't want part of you. I want you to give me priority in your life. Maybe it's giving. Maybe you've had a hard time with this, and the Lord's speaking to you today saying, hey, you need to honor me with what you have so I can honor you. Maybe beyond that, it's a shift of purpose where you've been saying, I've been more worried about building my kingdom and I've forgotten about God's kingdom. And I have to recognize that he's called me to advance his kingdom. I don't know where you are, but he does. And I want to pray a prayer of encouragement. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray. And if you're here today, and maybe you're in that journey, and that's that decision that you're facing, and you're saying, hey, I don't understand, I don't get it, and you're tired. But today, maybe you're willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to open up. I don't understand it, but I'm going to open up. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put myself in alignment with you. I believe that as you do that, you're going to begin to understand what it means to walk under the covering of God, because he's going to reveal himself in ways to you that I can't even understand. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say a prayer. We're not going to single you out, call you out. But if you're here today and you need God to bring alignment in your life, as we pray on your own, I want you to begin to pray. Say, Lord, bring alignment to my life in whatever area, in time with you. Bring alignment in my life in giving. Bring alignment in my life with purpose. Whatever it is. Maybe bring alignment in my life in all of it, Lord. You know. But as I pray, I want you to make a prayer to the Lord, because you know what? He's listening to you right now. And as you call upon him, he's going to answer you. And as you begin to say that, he's going to answer you. So let's pray together. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, let me do this. We never close the service. We never close the service. But if you're here today, no one looking around for just a moment. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, or you've known him and you've walked away, but today you want to rededicate your life to him with no one looking around, would you make eye contact with me? I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? Praise God. Amen. Anybody else? Let me do this before we pray that prayer. I'm going to pray. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you're saved. And so that confession is simply a prayer. And I'll lead you in that prayer right where you're sitting here today. But you have to then, it says you believe in your heart. That belief is an action that you live out. So let's pray today and ask God to come into our hearts. I'm going to ask that everyone join me in this prayer to not single anybody out. But those of you that responded, make this your personal prayer. But we all will pray this together. Let's pray right now, if you would, with me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we close, here's what I want to do. I'm going to say this prayer. And as I pray, if you need alignment anyway, I want you to ask that. And I believe that God's going to begin to help you on that journey. But let's just join together in prayer right now. And as I pray, you pray for yourself and your areas. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see each and every one of us today. Lord, I stand here the first to recognize alignment that needs to happen in my life. And Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that as we, as a body of believers, as we begin to come into alignment with you and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I give you my time. I give you my schedule. I recognize, Lord, that my time is so often filled with things that don't honor you, or filled with things that push you away because I'm too busy. But Lord, today, Lord, I just want to, as a body of believers, we are coming to you saying, Lord, I want to give you all of my time. I want to give you, Lord, priority in my life, not just on paper, but as I live it. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now that as we give, Lord, those that are giving now, that have been giving, those that are new, Lord, that you would honor them with that, that you would bless them, Lord, and show them as they walk under your covering that you want to bless them, because it's not about the money, it's about the heart and getting their heart right with you and trusting you. And Lord, I pray that as they are making alignment in their lives in that area, that you would bless them. Lord, your word says that test and see if you won't throw open the floodgates of heaven in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Test me and see. Lord, as they test, they can see the goodness that you have. And Lord, for those that are struggling with purpose and meaning and not knowing why they exist and begin to find themselves working for their own kingdom instead of your kingdom, that today you would rise up within them a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, a hunger and a thirst for you and your kingdom and your plans, and recognize that it's not about us, but it's all about you. Lord, bring alignment in us as people, as believers, as a family of God. Bring alignment today that we can be prepared and have energy for what you have in store. In Jesus' name, amen.